Well, good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service on this Wednesday of July 23, 2014. And the Lord has allowed us to make it through half of another week. And I pray that His blessings have been upon you, that He has richly given you His grace and blessings and the outpouring of His Spirit. And it's good to be back with you once again. So welcome, dear ones, and welcome to those listening on the phone and those listening to the recording. And we appreciate you choosing to fellowship with us in the middle of this new week. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled Day by Day. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust Thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within Thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. And praise our God for helping each one of us each day, moment by moment, to perform His will, to accomplish the task that He has set out for us to do. And praise the Lord that we're one day closer to the promised land.
Good evening, dear ones. If we could all bow our knees as far as possible, bow our hearts and our minds and our soul before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up and for taking us thus far throughout the week. Dear Father God, many of us are thankful for that blessing because not many is able to live to see this day, dear Father God. But thank you for the mercies and the grace that you have bestowed upon us, dear Father. Father, I pray that you open our eyes and our ears and break up our hearts well, dear Father God, that we may receive wondrous things out of your word, dear Father God, and not just keep it to ourselves, but go out and proclaim your word, dear Father God, and introduce one to your word, dear Father God. Plant a seed and pray that you would increase it, dear Father God, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you forgive us all for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body that is not of you, dear Father God, conscious or unconscious, dear Father God, I pray. Please wash us and make us new by your grace and strength. Lord, I pray for our home church. Thank you for giving us the ability to come and freely worship and lift you up. I pray, dear Father God, that you will bring back the dear brothers and sisters that are not here with us tonight, but you prick their hearts, dear Father God, and let them return so that we can continue to learn of you, to be able to edify each other, and to lift each other up in no other name but you, dear Father God. Help us to put self aside and just be able to keep our eyes single on you, dear Father God. I pray, dear Father God, also for those families that are affected by all the tragedies that are going around the world. But amidst all of that, dear Father God, I pray that you wake them up, dear Father God, that they may be able to start to seek you, dear Father God, in all things and not to just be bogged down and weary by the events that is happening. Please, Lord, continue to give us the ability to pray to you freely while we can, dear Father God, I pray. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives. In no other name but Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. A beautiful prayer. And indeed, all the catastrophes and the disasters that are happening all around the world are just indications, signposts, if you will, of the nearness of our Lord's return. So indeed, I second your prayer. I wholeheartedly agree with it, sister, that the Lord will work upon the hearts of individuals that are either involved in the disasters or the disasters have come close to them or they know about them, so that they can turn to the source of all help, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed be saved before the end, before it's too late. So, dear ones, welcome once again. Last time we started Romans chapter 8, and we got through verses 1 through 15. And so now we're going to start at verse 16, and I'm not sure that we're going to make it through the entire chapter, but we will get as far as we can do so. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 is where we'll begin tonight. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So this verse shows us that the Spirit has the ability to give its own witness. In other words, it gives its own approval. And so this shows us that the Holy Spirit is not an essence or just a power or just the combination of the Father and the Son together, or even just the Spirit of the Father himself. But the Holy Spirit is a separate entity, a separate God, other than the Father and other than Christ. Because if it was just the Father giving his witness, then it would say the Spirit of the Father, or the Spirit of Christ. But it says the Spirit itself beareth witness. So this shows us very clearly that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Father is the first person, Jesus Christ is the second person, and the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And as the Father is not the Spirit or Christ, and as Christ is not the Father or the Spirit, and as the Spirit is not Christ or the Father, we see that there are three divine persons in the Godhead. And each of these three divine persons is a God themselves. So we see that there are three gods to the Godhead. There's not one God split in three persons, nor does three persons make up one God. But there are three gods in the heavenly Godhead. Now, this isn't a Trinity. A Trinity is a Catholic doctrine that is derived from Babylon. The Trinity teaches that there's one God split in three manifestations, or three persons. And these three persons combined together make up one God. That's the Trinity. But the Scriptures teach us that there are three gods to the heavenly Godhead, or in other words, a heavenly trio. And the Holy Spirit is just one God or one divine person in this heavenly trio. So the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, are there any questions or comments or thoughts that you'd like to share before we move on regarding verse 16? All right, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So, through the Spirit, we have been enabled to become the children of God. We've been adopted by God as His sons and daughters. And this adoption is not make-believe. It's fully established. We are indeed the sons and daughters of the Almighty. And as His sons and daughters, then we're heirs. We are owners, along with God, of all that belongs to God. And as Christ is our elder brother, then we are joint heirs with Christ. Do you realize that, dear ones? Do you comprehend that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and being baptized into His body, you have become related to the Almighty as His sons and daughters? The plan of salvation is so rich and full, and it is marvelous. We who, by choosing to sin, have in essence put Christ on the cross and crucified Him, God is willing to forgive us this heinous, murderous crime and make us His sons and daughters. That is the greatest love story that has ever been. For God so loved you and me that He gave Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, a life that measures with the life of God. So through Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God. We're His heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Continuing, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So if we're truly connected with Christ, what's going to happen to us in this world? We're going to suffer various degrees of persecution, because all who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will have tribulation, will suffer, will be tempted and tested more than the regular people in the world. Because all who choose to follow the truth make themselves a target for the wicked. So becoming children of God has a price. It has consequences. The world no longer loves you or likes you or wants to be in your company. And they're not satisfied that you're different than them. They want to try and coerce you or force you through varying ways and degrees and traps and pitfalls and so on, peer pressure. They want to try to coerce you to join with them so that they don't feel so out of place. They don't feel so condemned in their life of sin by your life of righteousness. So choosing to accept Christ as your Savior and becoming the sons and daughters of God brings consequences. But dear ones, what is our lifetime of 70 years on this earth compared to eternity? And that 70 years on the earth, if you've been a follower of Christ your entire life. What about those that have just recently accepted Christ after living 30 or 40 years? Half their life is over. They only have half of their life left to stand for God. What is persecution for 10 or 20 years compared to eternity? It's just a drop in the bucket. To us, it seems an eternity when we're going through tests and trials and tribulations. But if we have our eyes fixed upon heavenly things, and we have the goal of being with our Lord for eternity in mind, then we will understand that what we're going through now is just temporary. It's just a small little bump in the road compared to eternity. So all who choose Christ as their Savior will suffer persecution. But it's through that persecution, through that tribulation, that worketh in us patience, and patience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is that much more established in your heart through the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you to be able to endure through that tribulation. So even though you become the enemies of the world by accepting Christ, yet it's worth it. Very, very much worth it. And all that the adversary can do to us is just tools that God can utilize in perfecting our character and making us that much more Christ-like. One of the favorite things of the devil to do is to have his agents come up to you in a very mad, angry way, even yelling in your face, because they want you to respond back to them in the same way. But when you dart a prayer to God, and when you resist the temptation to become just like them, and instead you choose not to become like them, and to realize that a soft answer turneth away wrath, or that silence is golden, and it's only a fool that blurts out everything that's on his heart, whereas the wise steadieth to answer properly. When you resist the temptation to respond in the same way, your character is being made perfect. If that angry person had never come up to you, then your response would not have been tested. So you can see that even though it was the devil's goal to try and get you to lower yourself and become just like him, by resisting his temptations and choosing to become more like your Savior in character, you are being perfected, becoming more Christ-like. And thus, if you endure unto the end, you along with Christ will be glorified together. If so be that we suffer with Christ, we may be also glorified with Christ. Continuing, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. So because Adam and Eve chose to sin, what happened to the world? Sin was allowed in. Sin brought death, corruption. And it wasn't just mankind that had to suffer through all of this, but even the birds, animals, fish, even plant life, trees, bushes, flowers, everything. Amen. It was a ripple effect. Everything was brought under suffering. So it's not just followers of Christ that are anxiously waiting for the return of Christ and being changed from mortal into immortal. But all of nature is patiently waiting as well. But this brings up a principle that a lot of people overlook. When you choose to sin, it's not just you that suffers as a consequence, but others connected with you also suffer, even though they're innocent of what you did. We all have an influence over others, whether we know it or not. If we choose a course of sin, then our influence, the weakness of our character in that area, is influencing others to follow our weak example. That's just the aspect of influence. But say, for instance, a husband chooses to commit a bank robbery. It's not just him that will suffer. It's also his wife and children. It's also his mom and dad, or brothers and sisters, or friends. All of them will suffer as a result of his choice to sin. And if we could just remember when we're tempted to do wrong, if we could remember before we choose to do wrong, that it's not just going to be us that suffers the consequence, but everyone around us is going to suffer, that would help us not to choose to sin for the sake of the others connected with us. So the innocent animal creation suffered right along with mankind for his choice to sin. But dear ones, a change is coming. This world is going to be recreated new. Mortal human beings are going to become immortal. Corruption of our flesh is going to be no longer corrupted, but now incorruptible. But that is only the glorious promise to those who are connected to Jesus Christ. For it's only in Christ that you find eternal life. And if you have the Son, then you have that life. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior, then you don't have life. So the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And it's not just creation that's groaning, but ourselves also. We look forward to a better time. So verse 23, and not only they or the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So how do we know if we're in Christ Jesus? If we have the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? In Galatians, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance. If we have those fruits of the Spirit, then we know that we'll be able to become immortal and incorruptible when Christ comes again the second time. But what if we don't have the fruits of the Spirit? What if we have the fruits of the wicked one? Well, then we're going to share the same reward as the wicked one receives, which is death and destruction in the lake of fire. So how do you know if you're in the pathway to salvation? It's by testing yourself to see if you have the fruits of the Spirit. So not only they or the creation groaneth, but ourselves also, which have the fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And when does that occur? When are our bodies made new? At the second coming of Christ. There's only going to be two groups that are involved in salvation at the second coming. There's those that are raised from the grave in the first resurrection. they died in the Lord, they'll be resurrected by the Lord to be with him forevermore. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And then there's the 144,000 who have never died but are still living when the Lord comes. And together with those that have resurrected in the first resurrection, they'll meet the Lord in the air and then be taken home to heaven for the wedding feast. So which group do you want to be in, dear ones? Do you want to be among the 144,000 who are alive to see the Lord come? Or do you want to be among the dead that are resurrected at the coming of the Lord? Which group do you want to be part of? Does it matter? Is there a difference between the lifestyle of the 144,000 versus those who die in the Lord? Is there a difference in the way that they overcome? Is there a difference in the way they follow the Lord? There's no difference at all. There's only one pathway to heaven. There's only one road that all who are saved must trod. That is the straight and narrow path. So those who die in the Lord and are resurrected at the second coming, and the 144,000, all walk the same road, the same pathway to heaven. They all overcome the same way. They follow the same truth. In other words, there's not an easier road to take. I've heard some say, you know, I just don't have what it takes to be part of the 144,000. So I'm not going to be as earnest or devoted as they would be to the Lord. I'm going to be a little less because I know that I just can't make it into the 144,000. So I'll overcome a little bit less. I won't be as devoted and sincere as they would be, but I'll still make it to heaven. Dear ones, that is a deception. And it is a deception that may cost them their eternal life. There's only one way to heaven, and that is by following a Thus Saith the Lord. By becoming connected to Jesus Christ. By doing His will and not your own. By crucifying self in order to obey the will of God. Those who die in the Lord and the 144,000 each follow that pathway. The only difference between the two is that the 144,000 perfected their character 100% while they still lived, whereas those who died in the Lord only made it up part way on that path. They may have gotten to 99% perfection in Christ Jesus before old age took them away. That's the only difference. The 144,000 will have perfected Christian character through Christ while they still lived. Whereas all the others that are sleeping in the grave and are resurrected at Christ's second coming perfected their character up to a point, but did not complete it 100%. That's the only difference. But it's the very same pathway to perfection that each member of the two groups had to walk in. Continuing, verse 24. For we are saved by hope. Well, I thought we're saved by faith. We are. We're saved by hope. We're saved by faith. We're saved by works. We're saved by Jesus Christ. All of these combine together and involve our salvation. It's not just faith alone, because that is dead. It's not just works alone, because none of us can work ourselves into heaven. Faith and works combined in Jesus Christ is what brings salvation. So then what does it mean here, we are saved by hope? Do you have any ideas? When you love someone tremendously, you feel empty when you're not with them. And if they've gone away on a trip, you long for the time in which they come back so that you can be together. You look forward to that time. You long for that time to come. You hope that that time is going to come quickly, especially if you don't know when your loved one is going to return. So if you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you want to do everything that you possibly can to make yourselves ready for His return whenever that time is. And you hope that His return is going to be soon. You long for Him to come as quickly as possible. And you look forward to the time that you're going to be connected with them, hopefully, to never part again, because you don't like the emptiness that you feel when you are apart. Dear ones, it is that love for our Savior that enables us to long for His return when we'll never part again. And we hope that His return will indeed occur in our lifetime. If it doesn't, then we will wait in the grave for the return of our Lord, of our King. So it becomes a goal, a earnest, overwhelming desire within us to make ourselves ready in the hopes of seeing our Lord return in our lifetime. So it was our hope to be connected with the Lord that made us steadfast and earnest. In other words, it was part of what brought us salvation. So yes, we're saved by faith. Yes, we're saved by faith and works. Yes, we're saved by hope. So all of these things combine together bring about salvation. Continuing, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So what does this hope to be connected with Jesus Christ and to see him as he is? What does it do within us? It brings about patience. How important is patience to a Christian? The Bible says, "In patience possess ye your souls." Patience allows you to endure, to hold fast, to not give up, to continue forward, to keep your head lifted up and your eyes fixed on the prize, on the goal of eternal life, to never part again from our Lord that we love with an intense desire. If you have no hope, then why not give up now? What's the point of going on? So hope is an important factor in this process of our salvation. It enables us to patiently wait for the return of our Lord. To patiently wait for being at the wedding. But we have to make ourselves ready. And thus hope encourages us. It motivates us to get ourselves ready. To not only put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, but to keep it on. And to keep it from becoming defiled. And dear ones, I pray that each and every one of us will plead for God to plant a greater and more intense longing and loving desire for our Savior than what we've had in the past. So that we will have greater patience, more hope, more faith, more earnest actions in following of Thus Saith the Lord. And it is written, in obeying the commandments of our Lord. And thus remain steadfast and not give up. Because we see with the eye of faith us being together with the Lord, never to part again. So don't give up, dear ones. Keep looking up. For our redemption is drawing nigh. Our Lord is coming soon. Let us get ourselves ready. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be so quick to give up the faith or to be impatient. But let us maintain our faith because we're beholding the Lord and thus being changed more and more into his image. And this is my prayer. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions that you have before we go into a season of prayer? Please feel free to bring them forth.
I have a song I'd like to sing, if that's okay, called Safe in the Arms of Jesus, written by Fanny J. Crosby, who was a blind lady and has written so many beautiful songs. You can see her trust in Jesus. It goes, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. Here by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul doth Rest, hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, here by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul doth rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, here by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul doth rest. Jesus wants us to lean on him.
Well, thank you, dear sister, and praise the Lord. That was beautiful. I don't think I remember ever hearing that song. So thank you for singing it. Thank you very much. The lyrics were very appropriate. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts or songs or testimonies or questions that you'd like to bring forth at this time before we go into a season of prayer? Please feel free to do so. I know one song comes to my mind is found in Proverbs chapter 3. And it's select verses from 1 through 11. And I know it's familiar to most of you, but I'll go ahead and sing it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 1 through 11. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to pray, please go ahead and do so, for God loves to hear us pray to Him. And praying for one another and for God's cause, as well as praying for ourselves, brings us that much closer to Him and to one another. So please feel free to pray, even if it's a very short prayer. And I'll go ahead and start, and whoever would like to follow, please do so. So please let us bow our heads and let us kneel as far as we're able to do so for this season of prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being here with us this evening. Thank you, Father, for being in control of all things. Thank you for the distinct privilege and honor it is to be adopted into the family of God, and that we have become your sons and daughters through accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and becoming connected with Him. Dear Father, please help us with the increased love, the increased faith and hope to continue moving forward, being patient, gaining warmth from the coldness of others if necessary, gaining courage from the cowardice of others, gaining loyalty from the treason of others. Help us, Father, to remain steadfast, become immovable, because our eyes are fixed upon the goal of becoming united with Jesus Christ for eternity, never to part again. And we thank you so much for helping us in this way. We pray, Father, for a greater outpouring of thy Spirit, and we pray, Spirit, that you will continue to work within us. Continue to increase the fruits of the Christian life within us. Help us not to retaliate against others. Help us not to seek revenge. Help us not to be mean to others because they were mean to us. But instead, help us to be Christ-like under any provocation, under any situation or circumstance. For we don't want to be like the world. We don't want to be like the wicked one. But instead, we want to be like our Savior and to reveal the kingdom of righteousness. We want to be your children, Father. And so help us in this direction. Help us to grow in grace. And we thank you so much for working with each one of us. And dear Father, I pray again for those that are outside of Christ, that you will indeed work in their lives, bring them into connection with those who know the truth, or with the materials, the tracts or booklets or recordings, so that they can come into connection with the truth as it is in Jesus and have that precious chance to accept the gift of eternal life before it's too late. Be also with those that are in the valley of decision, that have heard the truth and are wrestling with whether to follow it or not. Help them to study it for themselves. Help them to take the time to investigate into it. And please send them your Spirit. And please, Spirit, quicken their understanding. Convict them. And give them the strength and courage to follow their convictions. And thank you so much for doing so. We thank you, Father, again, that you are in control of all things. And I pray that you'll be with each one of our church family. Be with each one of the visitors or those that have listened to the materials, listened to the services. And I pray, Father, that you'll help each one of us and each listener to come that much closer to Thee, that much more devoted to the truth, that much more a earnest follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank You so much for allowing us to have this home church and this ability to meet together no matter where we may be around the world if we have access to the internet. Thank You so much for allowing us to be edified and encouraged and to be an encouragement to others. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Father, just want to ask that You will put the heart and mind of Jesus in every single one of us and to help us live as He lived and help us to be as smart as He was, to be able to answer not only correctly but with love any question that is asked of us. Be with those who are sick and who are having depression. Be with those who don't even know You, who are too busy doing the worldly things. Interfere in their lives, dear Lord, and help them understand that this is not the life to live. There is something much better promised to all of us. And use us, Lord, as the instruments to help them see that eternity is everything and this world is nothing. And thank You, Lord, for answering our prayer already. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rob, the scripture song, just the verse of it just slipped my mind. So as I sing it, can you please post it in the room so that I can tell the room what where it comes from afterward? But it was just a song that was in my heart as we were reading this study or listening to this study. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. And the other part that we always sing with is, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Amen indeed. If we wait upon the Lord, he surely shall be our source of strength, so nothing we do shall be without him. And so that song was impressed upon my heart as we were going through this reading, because it's indeed true. Nothing of the Lord shall come back void. So indeed, dear brothers and sisters, for those who are listening on the phone, for those who are listening at a later time, wait upon the Lord in all things. He is our source of strength in all things. Everything that we go through was already written for us. It's not just today. It's not just yesterday. It's already written. And sure as he wrote it for us to go through, he already wrote it for us to be accomplished. The devil is already in a defeated foe. So wake up, dear ones. Wake up. Everything is already in God's hand. And for that, Lord, thank you. You are worthy of all the praise. Thank you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for all those songs. They were beautiful and uplifting to my spirit, and I'm sure yours as well. But dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming this evening. Thank you so much for your participation and for your choosing to fellowship with us tonight and becoming one with your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Pray that the Lord will go with each one, that he'll continue to hold you in the hollow of his hand, to divinely protect you and also to encourage you to continue forward, not to lose hope, but to keep the eye of faith fixed upon the Lord and to long to be with him. So, dear ones, may God bless. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. This is Psalms 23:1-6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. In green pastures he leadeth me. Beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Psalms 23:1-6. And it is my prayer, dear ones, that you will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, along with all the rest of the redeemed. So, dear ones, keep this hope ever before you, and don't lose it, for it will indeed allow you to be patient in waiting for it, and not to lose your faith. So may God bless, dear ones, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again very soon, in just a couple days.